Amen. Let's give them another hand as they make their way off the stage here. Man, praise the Lord for that. What an awesome, awesome performance and tremendous songs as well. I invite you to stand with me and take your Bibles. Go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4 today. Matthew, chapter number 4. And the title of this morning's message is the title of that final song, The Light of the World. The Light of the World. There in Matthew chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse number 12. Now, typically, for a Christmas message around this time, we'll stop our series that we're in and we'll kind of take a break from that, but it just so happened, the Lord worked it out, that as we're studying through the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 4 is the perfect verse for us today. Matthew 4, and let's begin in verse number 12. The Word of God says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." And verse number 16 is our focus for today. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're asking that your Spirit would move through our services today, touch each heart. Please, Lord, through your word, I pray for the one who is still in darkness this morning, that they would come to the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. So I've had to do this in the other two services. I'll have to do it again. I have to start by kind of addressing something I said last Sunday morning. There was some controversy that brewed after the service last Sunday. Of course, we had quite a bit of snow, and some folks were watching on the live stream as well, and it was something that I said, and I want to get into it before I get to the message. And I said something about cats last Sunday, and people did not like that, all right? There was nothing theologically that was brought up. Nobody really said anything else about the message. It was just the cats that people kept talking about. And I got multiple messages after the service last Sunday. People were sending me pictures of their cats, like snuggled up to the Bible, and they were convinced, or they were saying, "Hey, my cat's a believer." And I was like, "Even the demons believe and they tremble." So so people were worked up about that a little bit, and I received some threatening messages coming by way of those in our junior church ministry as well. So just pray for me this morning, and I stand by my original statements. I recant of nothing today. And so, the light of the world. I love looking at the different Christmas lights this time of year. How many of you go, you drive somewhere with your family or maybe even around the neighborhood and you look at Christmas lights? Anybody like that? How many of you hang up, raise your hand if you hang up Christmas lights at your home, all right? How many of you are too lazy to hang up Christmas, all right? Like the rest of us, I'm too lazy to do it, all right? I love Christmas. I love the lights. Not enough to do it myself. A few years ago, my dad got us one of those like projectors that you just plug in and it just like projects lights on your house. That's for lazy people, right? Problem is, it's all the way down in my basement, and I gotta go dig it out, and I'm just too lazy to get it. So maybe this week on Christmas Day, maybe my kids will see some lights out there. I love looking at the different lights and what those lights remind me of. Christmas is about lights, but more specifically about a light, the light. The truth is, no matter how many lights you string up, Christmas is dark without Christ. The story of Christmas is the story of light, the story of how Jesus, the light, plunged himself into the darkness, reaching through the darkness of mankind to bring us into his glorious light. The Word of God says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Have you ever considered this? There will be no darkness in heaven. The Bible says at the end of time, heaven won't even have a sun, S-U-N, because God is light. And yet, Jesus, surrounded by eternal light, left the brightness of heaven to leap into a sinful world. And it was his cry that pierced the blackness of the Bethlehem sky on that first Christmas day. Here in Matthew, we see a tremendous prophecy being fulfilled, a prophecy that was given 700 years earlier. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2, it says this: "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." What an amazing and dramatic figure of speech. They were sitting in the land in the shadow of death, doomed to die eternally without hope, without light, in spiritual darkness. And yet we can take heart today because, glory to God, the light has come. Just as the sun rose this morning, the light has dawned upon us. And his name is Jesus Christ. This morning I want to share three things about this light of the world. First, number one, we see the rejection of the light. The rejection of the light. Look at Matthew 4 in verse number 16 with me. It says this: "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." The light has dawned, but not everyone likes the light or receives the light. Some, Scripture says, reject that light. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of John says that Jesus is the light that shineth into the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. He is the light that comes into the world. He came unto his own, but his own received him what? Not. They rejected the light. Now, why would those in darkness reject the light? Because light reveals everything. Light reveals everything. In John 3, verse number 20, here's what we're told: "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light." Why? "Lest his deeds should be reproved." In other words, so that their deeds are not exposed, because the light strips away all disguises. It shows us for what we really are: sinners in the eyes of God. As an unbeliever, the closer you come to Jesus, the more he reveals about you. The closer you come to the light, the more and more he exposes about your life. Jesus is the exclusive source of spiritual light, and that light reveals sin. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said this: "The nearer a man gets to God, the greater he sees his sin." The closer you come to the light of the world, the more we realize our own sinfulness before God. The closer you come. He is perfect and we are not. If you believe that, say amen today. It reveals who I really am. Not who I want to be, not who I pretend to be, not who others think I am, but who God knows that I am. The darkness, we think that it hides our deeds from the light, but Scripture says otherwise. In Psalm 139, verse 12, it reveals this truth: "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. We think, and this is incredible, we think that if we are in the darkness, we don't want to come to the light because it will expose our deeds, so we stay in the darkness to hide those deeds. The incredible truth of the gospel is, if we stay in the dark and hide those deeds, God will uncover them. He will reveal them. But by his amazing grace, if we bring those dark deeds to the light and expose them, confess them, the Bible says he takes them away. Isn't that amazing? Stephen Hawking, the famed physicist and atheist, once said this, "Christianity is a fairy tale for those afraid of the dark." Theologian John Lennox replied, "If so, atheism is a fairy tale for people afraid of the light. Those who reject the light of Christ reject him because light reveals everything." Number two, next we see the renovation of the light. The renovation. Here's the picture we get when we read the Bible. Mankind is covered in darkness. Beyond that, the world is filled with darkness. And I could pluck out about three or four of the main headlines in the news this morning just to prove the world is filled with darkness. Would you agree with that? Even further, Scripture says our hearts are consumed by darkness. Proverbs 4 verse 19 says this, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Here's what happens though. When Jesus saves a person's soul, an overhaul takes place. A renovation begins. And this is the part that people don't like about Jesus. See, most people want to have Jesus and keep their sin too. But it doesn't work like that, does it? Because when Christ moves in to the home of our heart, some other things start to move out. There's a renovation that comes as we believe in, put our faith in, and follow the light. I shared this little guy. Have you guys seen these little guys around, all right? How many of you, like, have one of these? How many of you have seen these things, like, around and stuff? I guess it's supposed to depict Jesus, and it's not very theologically accurate, is it, Matt? But I think there were somebody was handing them out, or these things are everywhere. The other day, my kids must have had one in their pocket. My wife opened up the dryer, and there was one sitting on the, like, lip of the drum of the dryer, just staring at her when she opened the door, which kind of gives new meaning to whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, right? Because he's, like, watching, and mine says, "Jesus loves you" on it, and this one's mine. My kids gave it to me, and he sits right in front of my steering wheel, right on the dash of my car there. He actually blocks my check engine light. "Jesus, take the wheel and take it from my hand." He's lit up like a Christmas tree. He's like glowing. It's like, that's the, you talk about Christmas lights. I got a bunch of them right in my car. He just blocks them for me. Everybody loves this Jesus. He's always smiling at me. I mean, he's got this, he loves me. He's super convenient. I could just stick him in my pocket, take him with me everywhere I go. He's the Jesus the world loves, who gives everything and yet offers or asks nothing in return. Yet when we come to Scripture, what we find is this. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus speaking, "Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Everybody likes a Jesus who gives them everything and yet never asks anything in return. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. As Christ spoke those words, "I am the light of the world," he would have been in the outer court of the temple. It would have been right around the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a special holy feast to commemorate God guiding the Israelites through the wilderness by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day. God led them through the wilderness. In commemoration of this, the people would erect a large candelabra in the outer court of the temple, and they would light that candle. It was said it would illuminate all of Jerusalem. They came to the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. No doubt that candle had burned out. And Jesus very likely could have referenced that candle in saying, "Even though that one burned out, this candle of the temple, I am that I am, the light of the world." And then he gave a promise. What was that promise? "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." It's actually, when you think about it, impossible for someone to follow light while walking in darkness. If you're following light, that means you're walking in what? Light. The only way you would be walking in darkness is if you're not following the what? The light. When Christ moves in, renovation begins. A process takes place of sanctification. A progress begins, but it is a progress. In John 12, verse 46, it says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in," what's the word? Darkness. Which follows, if you are abiding in darkness, you have not come to the light. Jesus wants renovation. He wants transformation. Those who have been changed by the light, this is not optional, will long to live a holy life, will yearn to have a holy mind. The result of following the light is walking in the light. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness." By the way, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is the testimony of every person who has ever come to faith in Jesus. For ye were sometimes darkness. It doesn't even say that we were in darkness. It says you were darkness. But I love these next two words. "But now." Aren't you glad there's a "but now" in Scripture? "But now, ye are ye light in the Lord." He doesn't just say, "I am the light of the world," but when we come to him for salvation, he makes us light in the Lord. Therefore, as a result of that, walk as children of what? Light. There is a renovation that takes place. Number three, and lastly, let's look at the reward of the light. The reward. Our reward is found in Acts 26, verse 18. It says this, "When Christ came, he came to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God." Why? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, not by works, not by baptism, not by being a good person, not by coming to church, but by faith that is in me. Now, how in the world is it possible for those who have been in such spiritual darkness to be the recipients of such a valuable reward. What reward could be of greater worth than the forgiveness of sins? And that verse tells me, not only will he take my sins, but he will give me an eternal inheritance. How can this be? How is this reward possible? For what reason can those in the darkness of sin be brought into such glorious light? Here's why. Because the light of the world came into the darkness to pay the price for our sins. As Jesus hung on the cross, dying for souls, here's what we read in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 23, verse 44, do you remember this part of the crucifixion story? It says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. It's high noon, when the sun would have been at its hottest point and burning brightest. It was then that the earth went dark. This darkness was not an eclipse. The longest eclipse lasts but a few minutes. This darkness continued for 3 hours. This is not a natural darkness, but a supernatural one. What happened in that darkness? Something that God did not permit the world to see. What a fitting picture. What was happening in that darkness? Something was happening. The darkness of judgment, the judgment for our guilt, was being poured out on pure light. All of our sins, past, present, and future, laid on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he," that's God, "hath made him," that's Jesus, "who knew no sin, that we might be made," the sinners, "the righteousness of God in him." All sin, selfishness, rebellion, disobedience, evil thoughts, idolatry, stealing, lying, lusting, killing, hate, pride, all of that was taken off of us and laid on him. What happened in that darkness? It's been said that all that is involved can never be known. This much can be ascertained. In that black hour, the judgment of the sins of the entire world was placed upon Jesus in isolation. He alone must drink the cup of God's indignation against sin. It's said that infinite wrath, moved by infinite righteousness, released infinite punishment on the infinite Son. And in just 3 hours, he was able to absorb all the punishment of eternal hell. He bore in his own body our sins. Though he knew no sin, he was made sin for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities and was made a curse. This was the cup. Do you remember as Jesus cried and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, let this cup pass from me"? 3 times, "But not my will, thine be done." What happened in that darkness? Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath for our sin. He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and when the fullness of time was come, he died a perfect death on the cross. He was crucified for your sins and for mine. He took our place. He took our punishment. He took our wrath. He took our condemnation. He died. He was buried. But praise the Lord, he rose again the 3rd day. Jesus entered the darkness of God's wrath. Christ was not guilty, but he was treated as if he was guilty. He was not only treated as a sinner, but he was treated as if he had been sin itself. The sinless one, made to be sin. On the cross, Jesus became responsible for the darkness of the world. Pure light was made to be darkness. And what did Jesus cry out in that darkness? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Norman Crawford said that all eternity will not exhaust the story of what the holy soul of the Lord Jesus endured in those dark hours on Calvary's cross. Oh, hear that piercing cry. What can its meaning be? My God, oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, 'twas because our sins on him by God were laid. He himself had never sinned, for sinners sin was made. God does not take sin lightly. Something has to be done to settle the problem of our darkness. But listen to me today. Here's the reason of Christmas and the reason we celebrate it. Because something has been done. It's already been done. That's the point of Christmas. God has settled the problem of all our sins, every one of them, by placing them on Jesus for us. For our reward. What is our reward? Forgiveness, an inheritance, acceptance, adoption, righteousness, holiness. We were in the shadow of death. You could say that death had our number, he knew our name, and he was already on the way. And yet, in a miraculous moment of grace and mercy, God did not leave the world in darkness. But 2,000 years ago, he sent forth his only son. That light pierced through the darkness. Praise be to God. The light of the world has come. Light has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you can know him, and he can be your Savior, and you can be his child. Because the light went into the dark to bring those in the dark into his glorious light. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand, if you would bow with me for a moment. If you're preparing to get baptized, you can come at this time. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. Let me ask you just a couple questions. If you're here today and there has been a time in your life where you have personally put your faith in Jesus for the salvation of your soul, if that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? Amen. All across this room, you can put those down. Is there anyone here this morning, just between me, you, and the Lord, who would say, "Pastor Nathan, there has never been a time where I have come to God and asked him to forgive me of my sin. There has never been a time where I have come to the Lord and put my faith in his son Jesus for salvation. I don't know that heaven would be my home. I've never been saved." If that's you this morning, you say, "Pray for me, Pastor Nathan. I've never been saved." Would you slip up your hand just for a moment so I could pray for you? Okay. Christian, what is our response? We've already come to the light of Christ. Now, we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you need to be saved, I want to invite you to come today. Christian, this altar is open for any need at all, maybe especially today. to praise God that He brought us into His marvelous light. Father, as we come to You now, I pray that Your way and Your will would be done in our time of invitation. Pray for the one who may not know You right now. Their heart is in darkness. God, they're afraid of Your light because of what it might reveal. I pray that they would not reject the light of Your Son, Jesus, today. Lord, they would put their faith in Him, the only one who went into the darkness for them. Father, as believers, help us to meditate this season and especially this day on all the praise due to Your name for bringing us into Your light. We love You in Christ's name. Amen.